This morning's scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, which can be found on page 183 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Good morning. Well, when the stewardship committee was deciding who was going to speak about gifts, I thought the odds were fairly good that it would not be me. Because as the holder of the, I have to read this, PCCCC, which stands for Permanent Capital Campaign Committee Co-Chair, I feel like all I do is ask you all for money for the building. So I was pretty sure it wasn't going to be me. Unfortunately, I sort of prayed and I said, you know, there are these other areas that I could speak about. So please, Spirit, you know, let me pray, let me talk about something else. And well, here we are once again, and I've been reminded that you don't pray for things you don't want, because invariably they are given to you. Don't ever pray for patience. That's the big one. Also, I really hate to ask for money. I grew up in a household where we were taught you don't talk about money. You don't ask how much something costs. You don't ever ask someone how much they make. You don't discuss it. And in my family, we never asked my parents to buy us something because the answer invariably was, we can't afford it. And when I looked at how hard they worked to support their four children, I never felt resentment about that. I knew that they were doing the best that they could. Then, as an adult, I became involved in starting a nonprofit called the Bridge Breast Network that helps women who don't have insurance, who have been diagnosed with breast cancer, receive treatment and follow-up. Asking for money was all I did, but usually it was in the form of a letter or a foundation grant. I'll never forget the first time I went to a major corporation and talked to the CEO about making a donation to the bridge. We were offering at that time, every dollar that was given to the bridge resulted in $8 in medical treatment. That was a phenomenal return on a donation. So I was sure that everyone that I asked was going to immediately say, of course, we'll help. So I'm sitting across this big corporate desk from this gentleman, and I told him about the bridge and what the bridge did, and explained to him that women who were uninsured had the only option that they had was to go to Parkland at the time, and that meant they would sometimes sit for 2 or 3 days before they would be seen by someone, and this usually meant they would lose their job because most of them were hourly workers, and we needed to give them something better. Well, I was waiting for him to whip out the checkbook, and he said no. Now, it took a second. I was sitting there thinking, okay, what happened? And then I went, you know, I must have done something wrong. He must not have understood me. So I said, you know, wait a minute. I did something wrong. Let me start over again. Well, I just wouldn't let him say no to the women who would have benefited from this donation. No, he didn't give me money that year, but he did the next year. When we welcome new members to Grace, we ask them to support it with their prayers, their presence, their gifts, their service, and their witness. And I always assumed that the gift part was only referring to the financial, to the money that keeps the lights on and keeps the water going. And as I began writing this, I really found myself hearing something different from Spirit. And what I realized was that the gifts we are asked to give are to support the greatest gift given to us, this church. Grace, filled with amazing energy and love that prompted her to be named a sacred space in this city, one of few. When I first came to Grace, I noticed this tall, gangly fellow who was sort of always here, and I found out that his name was Carl McCluskey and that he was a retired engineer. And you know, engineers sort of look at things very carefully all the time, which is what Carl did. And while Dale McEwen, raise your hand, Dale, where are you? Right there. Was out raising money from these corporate types, Dale was the one who was in the church deciding what needed to be done and oftentimes doing a lot of the work himself. Every time we do something in this building, I feel a responsibility to Carl and his quiet but powerful love of Grace. Today, Carl's place has been filled by another, and I'm sure you'll know who I'm talking about, who you often see vacuuming or standing guard over the parlor floor when there are children in there, and he's looking with consternation at how the floor is doing, and yet he's also looking with pride at the fact that these children are learning and growing in Grace. And I think you know who I'm talking about. We are the stewards of Grace. Since the 1990s, the stewards of this church have worked to restore this building for use for future generations. And that can't be said about many historic churches. Since 1990, we have raised $2.2 million to restore this building, with only about 10% of it coming from foundations. This from a congregation averaging around 200, or probably less from that time. And we've done this while watching other historic churches fold because they did not have the time or energy when it became critical, or the money, to restore the infrastructure of their churches. I think when we started, the bathrooms were out on the porch, and one of the ladies' stalls had a stained glass window in it, which I think that was kind of a loss, actually. But this congregation has sown bountifully and returned bountifully. The power of this place is well known, as are the skills that most of us know that have gone into creating her. I love looking at the windows because I can just get lost in the colors and I still wonder how they did it. I can see the craftsmen in Kansas City around the turn of the century piecing together these amazing scenes and then putting them on a railway car to Dallas where they would be put in our building. Don't you know they really wanted that to be good weather on that railroad trip down here? My dream is that someday another congregation will feel the power of stewardship because of what we've done to restore Grace. Ancestry.com says 25 years make a generation. So those windows have looked down and comforted almost five generations of Grace members. The next five generations will walk through our new doors, which you're going to hear more about in a couple of weeks, and wonder about the people whose names appear on the plaques beside them. Who were those people, and why did they build these doors? And they're going to look at the plaque in the back of the sanctuary and wonder who the family is that made sure that we were safe from fire, just as we look at the names on these windows and wonder who they were and what was their contribution to this church. In the pews where we sit today were families who at one time walked from their homes on Swiss Avenue, or they rode their buggies. And if you look, you can see where the hitching posts were sawed off out in front of the church. It's an amazing period of time. These walls have seen a lot. Families who sat in this space prayed and endured through World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the Gulf War, and still today we come to honor and remember those serving here and abroad. It's really hard to imagine, isn't it? We prayed abundantly during these times, and we reaped abundantly from those prayers. Last week, we celebrated the Cubs winning the World Series, as did the Grace Congregation in 1908, the last time the Cubs won. There was a congregation here celebrating. Grace has given us her gifts of peace and a place to connect with the Holy Spirit, our comfort and our teacher. When Judith arrived at Grace, I can remember her saying she'd never seen a church that depended so much on volunteers. All you have to do is go into the office any time during the week to see any of the 5 volunteers who help keep this office, this church running, and I'm guessing they kind of help Shirley keep her peace of mind and keep her from killing anybody, right, Shirley? Yeah. So she has lots of help. We give abundantly of our time and are blessed abundantly in return. I wish you could have been here yesterday. It looked like ants all over this. And at one point, we got the team that was moving the mulch, and I got them to sit down for a picture. And they had not been told about Grace. And I kind of gave them a little overview of who we are and what we do. And they were amazed. They kept saying, and it does what? And it has how many missions? And they couldn't believe what this church does. We provide millions to the Dallas community through the missions housed in and on this church. Stewardship is defined as the responsible planning and management of resources and includes each volunteer act. Simply, all that we have is from God, and we are called to be the stewards, not only of what we have personally, but of this church. What we see as our resources are what God's already given us. This church takes our resources and turns them into what God wants for the world. Through stewardship, we express our obedience regarding the administration of everything God has placed under our control. The commitment of oneself and possessions to God's service. Yes, we need gifts of money. This is where the ask comes. To pay the bill, since we really haven't figured out a way to get the city of Dallas to let us work off the electricity and water bills. So we do need funds. And the amount that you give, that's to be determined between you and the Holy Spirit in quiet conversation. Then comes the trust to answer that call to stewardship. In deciding my annual gift to Grace, I've always tried to make it something sacrificial. And I started, when I began doing it that way, with a base of saying, I need to look at something that I can give up that would become my gift to Grace. And it had to do for me with the amount of money I was spending on the way to work on coffee. Now, I stopped at a well-known coffee spot whose name ends appropriately with the word Bucks. Did you ever think about that? Yeah. And I decided I'd buy a coffee maker and give that money to Grace. And that's where my initial gift came from. I've tried to build on that every year. I did it joyfully, not feeling reluctant, but bountiful. Today, as someone who lives on retirement, it's no longer an option to buy $5 coffee every day. But Spirit assured me that what I give will be covered. We ask when we talk to Spirit, really? That much? Really? And you really have to trust, because if that's what you're hearing, then that's what you're supposed to give. And Spirit will take care of that amount for you. Spirit has our back. As you fill out your stewardship card, I ask that you look at the work of your church in the coming year and remember what God has already done for you. Remember that being a steward is much more than money. So share your gifts, whatever they may be. And remember that being a good steward includes your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. So bountifully, so you may reap bountifully. Enjoy. Amen.